Hello everyone, this is your favorite voice of business psychology. I am your host Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. Guys, today we are diving deep with Ashif, a titan in the tech world, hitting automation services and bots for that. But there is so much more to this powerhouse. She is a tech woman title holder, a UN Women UK delegate, and a beacon for Google's women tech makers from moving countries in her 20s to championing for migrants and authentic communication. Ashi's journey is the stuff of legends. We are talking open-hearted conversations, brimming curiosity, and of course, her unwavering drive to uplift others. Trust me, you don't want to miss what Ashi has to spell today. Good morning, Ashi. Welcome to the podcast Psych and Success.
Hi, Kritika. Happy to be here.
So, Ashi, you know, I really wanted you to be on the podcast and I have my reasons for it. First off, you know, when we first connected and we had a conversation, it was just so heartfelt and we straight away dived so deep into the conversation, sharing our challenges and our motivations to do things and how we have evolved as a person. And with all your experiences and amazing work that you have been doing, that is the reason that I wanted you to be on the podcast. So, first of that, I know quite a bit about you already. And now I would want you to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell about who Ashi is. What have you been up to lately?
First of all, thanks a lot, Kritika, for putting it so beautifully. And all I would say, the feeling is totally mutual.
In the first conversation itself, I had been like, I have really found a friend in you. And I was just so glad, although we have not met in person until now, but I'm so looking forward to.
Even I am really interested to you to just take whenever you can come to London. I'm really looking forward to host you. So please let me know whenever you are here.
Oh, absolutely. So now let's talk a bit about you and how you have reached the level that you are at.
I'm still not there where I want to be. But two, I'm also not there where I don't want to be.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, and my whole journey is like lots of ups and downs was there. But also how I see it, like if you want more, you have to face more than you have to work more. Ultimately, you will get more.
So absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's not at all easy coming to a different continent altogether by yourself, building your name and your connections in a new country where you hardly know people. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I want to correct you, not hardly know people. I was literally not knowing anyone. I came to UK in my young 20s and I was literally knowing nobody and just a handful of people to whom I already tried to make connection before coming, because that's something I would say, like, it's just me. Like, I love connecting with people. So, COVID was like not a big time for me to connect, but still I would say I did whatever I could do. And just to give a quick intro about myself, it's like what I do. Like, I do all kind of, like, from digital transformation to the mind transformation.
Okay.
To actually have the life transformation. That's what I do. And I help people as well to do it. So when I say digital transformation, I help businesses to automate their process, to automate their mundane tasks. And then when I say mind transformation, I really help others to transform and make certain shift on their mindset, basically, because I literally work super hard to do it.
Yeah,
I'm giving somebody to tell me what exactly I do in 2 minutes. And like, oh, I'm doing this and that. Oh my God. So
it can be difficult when you are in so many spaces and you're a person, because I see you as a keen learner, and you have just so much even within you to give to the outer world, and so much to, you have a huge absorbing capacity. So I can imagine.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I could see the same in you as well. So it's like, that's where I think so we got connected on a deeper level, because we share a lot of commonalities, plus the mindset that we got, like, yeah, if something is coming, it's like how I see it, either you can cry about it or create something out of it.
Yep. And that is how the podcast was created, by the way.
Wow. Now almost everybody knows what they should do and what is good for them, but there's not a lot of people talking about how to do it. That how is missing. So even if I give you like a very quick example, so before jumping on this session, so my show was asking me to update, and when I was clicking till I'm knowing like I need to update my Chrome.
Yeah.
And when I was trying to update it, it was actually not taking me anywhere. It was just showing me you need to update your Chrome. And I
That's weird.
I know it. Then what? So I made the next step, right?
Yeah.
So again, I had to do my research. And then I had to come on my own. So yeah, that's...
I think that's the part of parcel of using technology, and we are just so much, you know, we cannot do anything without technology these days. And
not just technology, Kritika, I would say in every aspect of life, people are saying like people are motivating others, and I really respect the motivation, but to how we should do it, how we should actually overcome this challenge. So
yeah.
Even when I started my journey, and even now, when I put any basic content out there, which is motivating, but I don't put the content just to motivate others. But what I will do, it's like I would always put the content, what steps I took and what worked for me. The solution-based approach instead of just a finding a problem approach kind of thing.
Yeah, that is so true, because every time I look for any professional learnings, any personal learnings, and people are talking about their experiences that, these are the results, this is what I was facing, and these are the results. But I'm like, but how did you reach there? Like, how did you reach this number? How did you reach so many... listeners, how did you reach a level where you are such a good speaker, let's say?
And there's a saying, right? If you will give a man a fish, you are feeding the person for a day. But if you will teach a person actually to do fishing, you are going to feed that person for the entire life.
I know a bit of your story from your early young age as well. So was it any point in your life, or with your, let's say, with your career, with your personal journey, that made you realize that your career is one part, like being the techie, and also the humanness, the vulnerability, the connection that you make with people? How did that come across?
How people say it, right? It wasn't something like one day thing which changed their life. But for me, it was really one point which actually... how I call it, like, it was a turning point in my life. So,
okay.
But before directly coming to that point, I want to take you to my further past. Okay. How did my tech journey started? There are actually the two story. One is funny one, and the another one is like, yeah, something kind of what it just drove out of the passion.
Interesting. Okay, all ears.
So the funny one started like, it started basically from the slam book. I don't know how much you know about slam book.
Well, yeah, of course, of course. I mean, I think all 90s kids have used slam books and might still have it somewhere in the back of their Wardrobe.
Slam book is basically the memory capturing book. So whenever we were actually leaving the class or any kind of transfer, somebody is going out of the classroom or leaving the city. So we used to offer this, like, can you just fill this slam book?
Yeah, for friends.
To have that record, like,
yes.
That time, the cell phones were not there. And I'm, like, really so happy for that thing. Like, So there was this one smart guy who wrote his aim as, like, he wanted to become an engineer. And I still remember that was around, like, fifth standard. I was in fifth standard. He wrote the aim. And how the child psyche works, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mostly whatever looks fancy, you have to just kind of like replicate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even I did the same. I copy-pasted that entire same statement to other slam books whenever people were offering me to film. So I copy-pasted, like, wow, I wanted to become an engineer.
Right.
Even though I was not knowing much about what exactly an engineer does. So, yeah, but I somehow kind of manifested.
Like, at an early age, you had been manifesting being an engineer then.
So I became an engineer. So I'm kind of like the dual degree holder. So my first degree made me an engineer. And then, again, when I was doing this campus placement thing, so...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still not sure how many people are aware of this campus placement thing. Because
it does not happen in the UK. It's an alien concept.
Yeah, so in India, it's like the companies come to your campus, like to your college.
University. Yeah.
And then they take the talent from there.
Yeah.
So I was kind of the fortunate one on the campus placement who got was able to secure her role. And the thing was, it wasn't that easy. So even though I secured the training, so we had to go through with the training, and the training itself was something like the testing model. So even though we got placed, but we didn't get the final offer of the job that we actually got the entrance in the company. So we had to go through with this 3 months training, and the training was typical on the programming, coding, and every those kind of aspects. Further away from automation, and that's the field I'm working on, but I will come to this, this fancy looking stuff later, because that's something it's the part of the journey. So, training, I was performing well in training, and I was always this competitive mindset kind of person. So it's like, whatever comes, bring it on. So
I'm doing just the best that you can.
Yes, that's true. Like, even though I wasn't liking that typical kind of coding programming training, but still I did my tests well, I performed well, and in exchange what they did was something like, so I come from the center part of India, and to all the listeners who don't know much about India, it's like with every 10 kilometers, we have the diversity, we have the diverse culture, diverse food, diverse language. So everything is like,
it's just a new city, a new culture altogether.
Definitely. So I come from a center part of India, and what happened to me, like, after the training, I was the only one who had to take a flight to South India because I got my placement there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a new world for a North or Central Indian people.
Definitely. But earlier I was actually calling myself like the unfortunate one. But just to give you a fact here, that was the turning point for me. The Chennai was itself a turning point in my entire life.
Wow, okay.
And I'm glad for that person whosoever did that to me.
So, yeah. You can only look back and connect the dots.
Yes, and now I'm that type of person. Either you can cry about it or you can create something out of it. So,
That's
plus
not
I'm a very emotional being as well. So when I say I'm giving you the choice, cry or create, so if I do a bit of cheating here, I do both. So
Yeah, we actually cry and treat.
yes. So fast forward the whole story. I moved to Chennai and then I started kind of my life, new life there, honestly. It was whole new life. And why I say this, because everything was new to me. I was literally experiencing the magnitude of changes. From everything, it was like, oh my God, I was having this culture shock. For me, it's what I want to do, I will do it. So if somebody's coming with me, if my friends, colleagues are joining me or not, I won't wait for others. So for that kind of personality as well, the consequences, it's like you have to do it. Like, at least for the start, you have to do it all by yourself. You have to travel alone. You have to figure it out on your own. Yes, later, you will get the community of like-minded people as well. But for the start, you have to do it by yourself.
You're by yourself. And I think that is something that actually opens up mind and helps you understand about yourself so much. You grow in that journey. And I think with, everything that you have done, building robots for a living and being award nominee, the role model, a leader, there's so much about you. That journey of yours from being a person in Chennai and learning yourself, how did you transition into this, I would say, this Aashi?
Down the fact, I would say I made the best connections. Literally, the people in Chennai are like so good. I don't know how to say it because they are so career driven. They are really so motivated. And then I'm like, this is why I call Chennai as a turning point, because it hugely transformed my life. I had to learn a lot of skills to actually get into that. Because how we see it, right? Like, try or just create something. So I literally created myself from the very early age. This is also something I wouldn't say I manifested, but that was just completely out of my passion towards robots. So whenever I used to see any kind of robot, so I think so my love for robot actually helped me to get into the automation industry. So when I moved to the Chennai, so I just got handled this, I just got offered this automation project because automation was so new that time. So nowadays it's becoming like a buzzword, but when I started, it wasn't very common kind of thing.
So I see that your Chennai experience has been so profound for you as an individual, which has helped you grow so much. But then how did then UK happen and getting into automation altogether?
Okay, so yeah, that's something again from the professional world only got driven into me because I was working into the automation industry and mostly towards the development profile. And then I'm like creating these robots, but I was actually not knowing why am I doing this. And like I was asked to do this thing, so as a competitive person, I was doing it. Okay, but also, there was another personality of Ashi is like, why am I doing this? So I started reaching out to my leaders, to my managers, to ask them like, should I be on the client's call? Because we were not supposed to. And then I'm like, I want to sit because I need to learn so I could create a better solution. So
That's
they
interesting. Because first off, taking the step to understand your customer, your clients is so important to build anything, any product, any automation or services that you're providing them. And you taking the step forward shows your ability to, upgrade yourself, upskill yourself, plus caring about the other person.
Definitely. It's also about the solution as well, because it's like, I'm doing it, but why? So, like, I want this client interaction as well. So, I started jumping on those calls, and I'm glad that I took that. Then I started knowing about the business. So, now, as a tech person, when I'm like the whole coming from the code technical background, now I'm like started learning more about the business, how the real process work, how the client interacts, what exactly are their pain points, why I'm doing this. And now, honestly, I started getting more interested towards the solution. Why I'm doing this, now I know about this.
Yeah.
So instead of falling kind of the... So there are few terms like as is to be solution design in the automation world. So we had to follow those approach. We had to go through with all those technical documentation. But now I know why. And I'm like, wow. And there, this huge hunger for me to actually be a bridge between tech and business world got established. And then I'm like, what's the best thing to start with the actual knowledge? So I decided to go with my master's in management. And
okay.
Then it slightly became easier for me when it was like I had to choose about the countries. Then I'm like, what would be the best place to learn about the management apart from UK? UK is like kind of, you know, people are really good with their communication, really good with their managerial skills. Fast forward 2020, I took the flight to London, and honestly, it wasn't easy, but we can do another podcast for that.
There's so many stories within stories.
Exactly. But yeah, the whole journey started just out of like this aim or kind of this mission or goal, which was like I wanted to create a bridge between tech and business world. But then I observed many people are doing it.
Yeah.
People are like just very good techies or anything else. They are really good with their business skills. The challenge happened and COVID happened. So my entire uni life went into
virtual
life.
Oh, I cannot even imagine just being in a room, in a house, in a country, hardly knowing people.
So I was not even having friends to speak to. Then it was always like, oh my God, kind of situation. But what helped me, because during that phase, it's just my curiosity. It's like I was a very curious person. And I got curious to just know. So what I was using, my internet. Actually, I was connecting with people, not just in the UK, because I took it somehow positively. Like, okay, now it's a time not just to connect and limit my scope to UK.
Yeah.
I started connecting, making connections globally.
Wow.
I was making global connection. And I would say, like, I'm glad that I did it, because now I am having, like, it's actually even helping me in my career life as well, because now I have the experience of not just working with people with diverse culture.
Yeah.
But now even I have these real connections.
Yeah, friends.
Real human connections.
Yeah.
And how I see it, like, people don't buy from people. That's the incomplete statement. People buy from people to whom they can trust.
True.
So it's really important to go out and have these real human connections.
Yeah.
And the conversation.
Yeah. Because humans are, again, social beings. And we need a personal touch, a physicalness of thing to make strong connections with other people.
Definitely. And this is something I learned, even like how I say it, like while working and creating robots, I realize that what is missing is like we humans are teaching and talking a lot about emotions, that robots are not having emotions. So what we started doing, it's like we started somehow programming the algorithms, like they should have like this. Even if we touch the responsible AI, what the responsible AI is doing, it's like actually we are giving a sense of emotion, sense of feeling to robots and machines.
Yeah.
To reply to us in more kind of like the human sense. But the real gap is, and the real complaint is not because technology is emerging. The real problem is we ourselves are losing on what we are known for, which means real emotions. How often you would actually feel the answer while responding when you are saying, like, how are you? I promise, the moment I would ask you, how are you? The automated reply, even though if you are messed up from inside, but the automated reply would be,
I'm good.
Lashi, I'm good. What about you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how I twisted that question. Instead of asking, how are you? I started asking with people, like, how did you sleep last night?
Yeah, that's okay. So you are kind of challenging their mind, people's mind to, okay, I have, that's a different question. I have to think about it. I have to, like, not just,
I don't have to automate his reply.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, like, after working with robots, I know what I could get. So I changed myself. How can I get different answer? Because it's like, we can't just complain that people are not answering us properly. The question is, like, are we asking the real question? But that's also helping me in my client conversation as well. Like, I can't just complain that they are not providing me with these real data. What are their pain points? I have to work on my skills to ask them properly.
Yeah, yeah.
To actually come up with a proper real solution.
Because people skill now, especially now, people skill is the most demanded skill in the corporate world. Because technology and everything you can learn and you can get good with experience. But then people skill is something that comes from within. You have to develop it. So how did this transition happen? Because, I mean, definitely on your personal front, but also on your professional front, being, you know, the top tech woman 100 and the inside out role model, the rising style star finalist, even the UN woman UK delegate. It's just, you have expanded yourself so much, because there is a human you, which is like the core of you, and there's this tech you. So how were you able to, in a new continent by yourself, build yourself so much? Because again, it will be so helpful for the listeners and the people who are getting out of their comfort zone, trying to build something of their own. How did you manage to do all of it?
Okay, so this is a very interesting thing that you brought here. It's like, how did it happen, right?
Yeah.
Back in 2021, so when I was somehow living my life. I got the job as well. So there was something like before dissertation, I made a promise to myself, I really need to find a job.
Yeah.
It was something my in and out situation. Like, I really have to. And that's something didn't come easy to me, because it's like, it was also unfair us, because people were getting out from their full-time job. And when I was trying to enter into the market during pandemic.
Oh, it must be a very tough market to crack.
Super hard. Because even on the weekends, I was working to just come out and to actually look for the finance and to look for my living. I had to work, like, overtime I was working.
Of course.
I was studying, I was working. So it was like, everything, but you know, nothing, I won't say that was, even though it was tough, but it didn't break me. What happened to me was, like, back in 2021, something happened, like a dog face. I call it my dog face. And then literally I was like, that was a situation when I would say, I totally understand when people say like, what is the depression means, because I live my depression and I survived the depression. So I'm being very mindful when I use this word depression. It wasn't seasonal sadness. It wasn't anxiety or stress, something. It lasted. It lasted quite a long period.
My God. And being by yourself?
Oh my God. And then again, I realized something, the importance of conversation, because even though it was becoming easier for me to be at the victimhood, play a victimhood that people are not listening to me, people are not offering me that kind of support.
Right.
But after doing a lot of self-development and a lot of work on myself, I realized, was I actually asking the right question to them? Was I actually asking what I want? So I realized the power of conversation, and then it's somehow how I see it, like 2022, I call it as my transformational year.
Okay.
Because I worked a lot. It was like do and die situation. The worst complaints in my life turned out to be best, because I transformed it to be kind of like, instead of taking things away from me, I can create something out of it. So being alone actually made me kind of be manager. So now I know how to manage finance. Now I know how to manage time. Now I know even how to be accountable for, because it's like, if you are not doing, nobody, you haven't got any back. You have to do it.
Yep.
So it somehow actually made me kind of the manager. So
it's so true to say that, you know, all the trainings, because I come from the learning and development industry, all the trainings that you can go through, you can just learn the theory and you can just put it in situational, like, you know, role plays and everything, that is something that you can do. But then the real learning happens, that you know the theory and you put it in action. If you are able to put it in action, what is needed at the time. And that is only, you know, how you became the manager of your life. And it couldn't happen if there were no situations for you.
That's so true. And that's where I say, right, every next challenge was teaching me something. And now I could proudly say it, like, I learned from the failures, mistakes, hard challenges more. Even with the conversation, I learned more than people and than I might have learned from a degree. Don't suffer in silence. And I started doing it, like, I started using my social media to put out the thing. And that is then and there I learned the art of conversation and having the real human connection. So because it's like, now I know the pain, so I can understand the pain. And that goes in, like, not just in my personal life, even in my professional life. Now I could understand actually where the pain lies in the business, where the pain lies in the workspace.
I mean, the humanness that we talk about that people are losing, you have held it so nicely and embraced it so nicely that is just coming across in this conversation. And that is why I would want to dive into, you know, you as a professional person, you who has accomplished so much by yourself, you have branded yourself. Is it like, have you, as a young leader, because you are also, I believe you're managing people as well, and as a leader, have you faced any kind of difficulty or a challenge being, because you have to be assertive and as well as you have to be empathetic with me. So how have you balanced both of it?
Okay, so how I would say it, like, earlier, I was appreciating IQ And I was actually going and talking to people who were demonstrating IQ to me, who were like really those kind of smart leaders in the industry, with any industry. Like, because I told you, like, I got distant industry experience. So I didn't just bottle up myself to the automation world. Now I know how the fintech industry works, how the education industry works. So, yes. So I was going for IQ as well. But these are challenges, right? They actually carved a different personality in me, which was like I started becoming more empathetic and I started dwelling EQ over IQ.
Right.
And even now, if you, how I see it, like, well, you will get what you are looking for, right? So now when I'm going out, so I could actually differentiate people who are just having the IQ and people who are having the EQ with IQ. And they are the top leaders. They are going to change the game. Because it's like, when it comes to IQ, even the machine said, so you are replaceable if you are just having and focusing on IQ.
Yep.
And that's really, if you are getting scared of technology, you
will.
I don't want to scare anybody off, but if you are just focusing on IQ, let me give you the fact that you are replaceable, because machine can do what
you are doing.
Smartness can do. But if you are also having
better
EQ, exactly.
Yeah.
They can do it, machine can do it in a faster pace, right? Machine can work over the weekend. Machine don't take, like, robots
it don't have a work-life balance.
Exactly. And machine don't take the sick leave. Machine don't take the breaks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lunch breaks. They are not taking those breaks. So, you are replaceable if you are just focusing on IQ.
Since we are talking about robots and they do not have any, you know, they do not take any sick leave. They do not have any breaks or anything. So, how have you managed? Because having the human element, having the tech element in you, and plus being a leader who people look up to, how have you been able to, and I mean, although in past that you, because of your curiousness and your learning nature, you have screwed up with your work-life balance, but then now with time, how have you been able to balance your work life, your well-being, your mental health?
So how I see it, something helped me is like what people are talking about the complaints, right? Even when I sit in to join the UN meetings, like, so there are also people are talking about differences in equality, improper work-life balance, injustice. I am the person who has lived those differences, who have literally come from the background where I have even seen those differences even in my own family. So,
okay,
that asking for more has always started from the very younger age. So now when I'm doing, when I'm getting it into, I would say 10x time. So I know the psyche behind that. I was trying to become a robot. Kind of thing. Why I say it, like, I was literally forcing myself to be very formal. Like, no, you should not laugh in this way. You should not be talking about this and that and all kind of stuff. But then I realized, is it actually going to help me to connect in a deeper level? Because it's going to make the connection, that surface connection is going to be there. So now even when I talk with my clients, right, and the same strategy I apply my professional career as well. So when I'm talking with people who are working under me, with whom I'm managing, and people for whom I'm working, so I'm making sure that it should not be the surface level conversation. It should be something which is going to be helpful and more kind of like it's going to add value in more personal level. And then professional level is going to figure it out itself.
Yeah, because even now the younger generation coming in the workspaces, Gen Z coming in the workspace, they want to keep everything very real and authentic. And even the conversation has to be very, you know, very on a personal level. It's not just, you know, professional connection. I tell you to do this, you give me the results and that's about it. Or authoritative dynamics in the workplace. They want things how it is.
Exactly.
And they're not going to take it or budge at all.
Oh, that's the sad part as well, right? We Gen Z and millennials, we are seen and I see us like we don't take things seriously. But how I put it, like we take things way too seriously, but it's just like we have decided not to take and what is not required for us or what is just something is helping us. So
yeah.
We are more kind of like we want the authenticness.
Yeah.
And if we are not getting it, we are fine in bringing it. And still, if it's not working, we are fine in like
leaving it.
Yeah. Because how do I say it?
So have you faced any challenge or do you have anything to share on your personal experience? Because as, of course, as a person of color and being a woman in tech, have you experienced such a challenge of, let's say, accepting or not just even being accepted, but climbing the ladder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just one. I would say I have been facing those challenges, differences, but it's all about down the fact that you're not alone who is facing this.
Mm.
Because after listening a lot to the women who are actually changing the dynamics of this traditional system,
mm.
they are coming as like, okay, there's a gap. So we are not asking somebody else to do it. We ourselves are taking those roles to fill it. And then those kind of differences, sometimes they are taken as being that you people are kind of the problem creators. You people are asking for more, why you want it. Like, this is working. But what people don't see is like, this is work. There's a difference. Like, even when we produce, when we create the automated solution, solution is there, but how effective is that solution? How sustainable that solution is?
Well,
real question is that, because how I see it, like, even in the workspace, if we actually allow the real conversation, half of the problem could be resolved. But why Gen Zs and millennials often face problem is because they are actually offered a job based on their overall profile. But when they join the job, they are not being encouraged.
Yeah.
They can live that life what they are living outside.
Yeah.
They are being questioned for every possible thing. And that's what I see. Like, the problem is not the system, because system is going to be
a bad problem.
Yeah. But the problem is with the humans. It's like we should actually change our mindset especially for the welcoming the Gen Zs and millennials, because they know to work on multiple things and still they are managing to live a life.
How you are telling that embracing Gen Z and letting them be in their original form and how their authentic self. Have you experienced something working with the older generation and being a young leader yourself? Any differences and if you're faced, how have you managed to be yourself and also bridge the gap between those generations?
For such a big question, I would just give you a one word answer. Conversation. That's what I learned. Go and talk whenever you are seeing the difference, and to add some more facts, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be the smooth conversation. It's going to be awkward. But go and talk. That's it. If you are thinking like it's not working out for you, just go and talk. That's it. This booker, she will call or just meet that person. I am not saying, because it's like, you know, you always have to give the benefit of doubt that if you are feeling something, even the other person could be also feeling the same thing about you. Then why we are not talking? Why we are just letting this misunderstanding taking us to the next stage? And how I see it, like, assumption kills the project, assumptions kills the relationship. So don't let the assumptions come in between.
But then, if you're talking about having conversations, authentic conversations, do you think that in general, organizations and people in the organization especially are ready and open to have such authentic conversations where, you know, there is no clash of interest, there is no influence of any politics or any other of their biasness?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Definitely no. It's not going to be easy. And we are not just human beings. We are the evolving beings, right? We are evolving. So even if you are having problems, you have to give that benefit of doubt to some another person. Even that person is having that problem. And it's not just about you. It's about the whole kind of, I would say, the holistic things, right? So when you are having this kind of conversation with you, right? So you literally have to collect that courage to have that conversation. So even though it's not very much welcoming, even though somebody else is not going to be ready, because in the professional world, I have seen, like, even though if you want conversation, but sometimes, not just a person, but sometimes it's like the tightness or kind of like the busy calendars.
Yeah.
And the overloaded workload. So it's hard to have those kind of like outside. And these conversations are known as, I don't know why they are still known as the outside of the work conversation.
Okay, okay.
But they are not the outside of the conversations, right? They are well-being and problems with a person should never ever be considered outside of the work.
Because, you know, with my researches and even my personal experiences, what I have seen and what I have understood is this generation, the coming up generation, Gen Z, is not the best with, although they want personal conversation, although they want personal connections, but then they are not the best at confrontations. They
because it comes to the fact that the space, they are not offered with the space, even though if they want to, because I literally have met amazing Gen Zs who are performing so well in life, but still they don't have this kind of confidence to be, to show their vulnerabilities. When it comes, still, I find like Gen Z struggle the most with.
And you being, again, how you are a role model, you work as a role model, being a very vulnerable self, sharing that out loud with people actually would help a lot many to come across as a vulnerable self, that people can be, I can be human. So, Aashi, it has been such an open, such authentic conversation with you. My last question would be, because I know that your coffee and your learning go hand in hand. So what are you currently, have you dived deep into? What are you currently learning?
I would say I'm just sharpening my three skills. First thing is curiosity. So even though if you are being questioned about, like, if somebody is shopping, I would say be curious. Just go and don't stop yourself from being silly. It's fine to be dumb sometimes. It's fine to show that you are dumb and you don't know. And that's where you learn the most, because the moment you start pretending you know everything, the moment you stop learning.
Yeah.
Be curious. Second is conversation. So this thing I really want to highlight is respective of any category wherever you fit in. Gen Z, millennials, or I don't know.
Baby boomers.
Whatsoever. Start having conversation. Start having conversation in your real life, in your personal life, professional life, social life, any sort of life. And plus, yeah, the another thing, when I'm saying that I love talking, so I literally made this thing very clear that I just talk to learn or to add value. I don't get involved in those kind of meaningless talks. So even with the conversation, have the meaningful conversation. Third, the most important is like the human connection, robotic or in this digital world. And you can easily buy this from me because I am the person who is really working.
Yeah.
In these are literally some of the skills.
Yeah, pretty
characteristic for anybody to become from mediocre to a leader.
That is amazing, Aashi. I have thoroughly enjoyed every bits and pieces of our conversation, because I mean we talked about from your experience to how the world is evolving, Gen Z is working, robotics, but then your crux always remained to who you are, which is, you summarize it so well about being curious, the conversations and the real human connections, and being in automation and in robotics, learning that from you, because people have their own expectations and images. Oh, this person is doing this, or that is how this person is going to be. But then just showing your vulnerable side, I think, just not just for me, but even for the listeners, it is going to be very, it's going to be very transformative and changing for them. Thank you for being such an authentic being, and also to come on the podcast and share your life.
It's my pleasure, and I really want to end this here with the statement. Why I say this, I would give you the answer for why later, but I want to make this statement here. Technology needs the world, and world needs technology. It's just we are displaying it in the manner, plus we are presenting it, that technology is kind of something which is a trouble or a problem. But also that comes from the fact that technical people really need to work on their conversation so that they can put the message out clearly, so that we can attract more people. So now I think somehow I tried my level best to be a techie still, to attract people to do what, to come towards the technological world.
Yeah, you should, what you should do? You should start your own channel. You should talk about more of tech world in a very human form that you do. And that will be so good for all the nerds to see that they can also be a person like Aashi.
Oh, wow. There's nothing fancy about me, but it's just I'm learning from the best kind of thing. And
that is the most fancy thing that, at the moment people can have, is having an open mind, having the human connection, and being the authentic self.
Wow. I think so, more than me, you put it in a very beautiful world.
And I'm just repeating you, okay? But anyways, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. And there you have it. Another episode of Psych and Success, packed with insights and real-world advice on business psychology, Gen Z, evolving workplace dynamics, culture, AI, and so much more. If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button, share this podcast with your network, and drop us a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you're looking to get in touch with today's guest, I've got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together. Until next time.